You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we are adding layers to our hobby. Thin layers. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Speaking of adding layers, layering your clothes for warmth, it's very handy. And that's why I like this this very thin, loose jacket, because I could put this thin, loose jacket underneath a bigger jacket. It works like a Dickies jacket, right?
Yeah.
Or
and then throughout the course of the day, if the weather changes, you can just take layers off and you're still comfortable.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. No, exactly.
And with a zip front hoodie like you're wearing, no worries about, you know, any damage to your professionally styled haircut. Whereas for me, as a bald person, I could easily wear a gray pullover with no issues. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, everybody. My name's Travis.
My name is Brandon, and thank you for joining us on our adventure through sweater time. Sweater time
it's
adventure.
The Sweater Cast 2022. We're bringing you all the latest news in sweater and gray hoodie fashions.
This just in, Sweater Alert 2022, famed sweaterist Eva Braun Sweater is dead at 22.
Eva leaves behind four cardigans and three pullover hoodies.
Poor Eva. Well, anyways, hey, thank you for joining us on Apathetic Enthusiasm. As I said before, I am Brandon. That is Travis. You can find us on a few different places, social media wise. Twitter at Apathusiast. He is at Jugglemino. I am at Barnyard Cruise. You can find us at Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Email apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm, and our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com, which has not been backed up in a while, and I keep forgetting to check out why. You can find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm, YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can buy our love or buy our acceptance, buy our tolerance for you. Just kidding. Over at TeePublic, apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop, or support us over at Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where we will get into doing more commentary for Rick and Morty episodes and more.
If we could ever stop printing things and sit down, sit still for a moment. My goodness.
We're not there yet. We're not there at that point yet.
Speaking of 3D printing.
Wait.
If you're a patron.
Oh. Yeah.
No promises yet.
No promises.
Because this has just as much odds as being come to fruition as a third episode commentary. if you heard the last episode, we're talking 3D printing. We're getting more and more ingrained in the 3D printing world. I'm starting to think a little bit about 3D modeling. I've made one successful print of something that I modeled, and It's got my head spinning about potential Patreon perks, physical items that you could get. So if that's something you're interested in, leave a comment on Patreon and let us know what you'd like to see, and then I'll never make it. All right. What were you saying, Brandon?
Exactly right. We will never make it. And finally, if you were trying to start a podcast, do yourself a favor. Get a month free of hosting at blueberry.com. Using the code AEPOD. That's right, AEPOD for a month free hosting your podcast audio.
Yeah, dip your toes in the podcast pool. It's 2022.
And then follow us.
Try something new.
And we'll follow you. Follow for follow. That's how this show got its success.
Apparently, yeah. Brandon, how the heck are you? How you doing? Great job. Great job on the social links and the whatnots.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It was a long weekend.
Oh, so long.
So long. And I did a lot of what we're going to be talking about on today's episode, so I won't get too deep into that. One thing I've been doing a lot since the new year, I I wanted to avoid doing a traditional New Year's resolution.
Okay.
But if I were to have picked one, it would have been to get into an actual workout plan, start lifting weights, get healthier, right?
Sure.
I haven't done any of that. I haven't lifted a single weight since the start of the new year. However,
it's going great.
However, I did start running more, and there is a Space Force 10K in December over at Cape Canaveral that I am.
That's a while from now.
It is a while from now, and so I want to do that. But I want to make sure that I'm trained and prepared for it. The last 10K I did was in Hawaii, and I got maybe about halfway through, and I had to walk. And I this time around, I want to make sure that when I run it, I don't need to be fast. I don't want to quit. I want to run the whole thing.
That is a tremendous goal. I the first race that I ever did, that was my same goal. I don't necessarily care what time I finish in. I just want to run the whole thing. I don't want to stop to walk. So if I'm in good enough shape to run the whole thing, great success. And then the following year, I tried to like increase time or decrease time, I guess, and stuff like that. And that's great. Like having an event, that has always been the best motivator for me whenever I've tried to improve in running, is having an actual event to train for. Regardless of if it's 12 months from now, 3 months from now, whatever it is, that's always been for me the best motivator to get out and just put in some miles. So
yeah,
I went running this year post my bout with COVID, and I'm not back. I'm not back to full strength yet. I feel great.
Did you run today? Did you try running today?
I did not. No, I got a flat tire yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
And so I instead got my tire fixed. But yeah, I'm trying to get back into, you know, the motions of working out and things like that. But yeah, that was a surprise to me. I wasn't ready for, because I thought I had already recovered fully, but I'm sure things will get back to normal here pretty soon.
Winded. You're easily winded?
At least when I was running like over a mile, I was. Haven't necessarily felt that in other areas of my life, but I haven't been super active either. So pretty relaxed hobbies that we will get into here.
Yeah. Well, when on the running stuff, I training for this 10K. I have the Nike Run app, as you do.
Love it.
And one of the things I had tried to do before was use the running guide to have a plan to get after it. And usually what would happen is I would start the first run with the vocal coach or whoever. You know, Coach Sammy, the runner. Mm-hmm. And I'd always be like, this is cheesy and I don't need this. I can't do it. And then I'd be done with it. So I'm on my third week of their plan. And the first 2 weeks, I didn't follow the guide. It said like a speed run intervals. And it says, do you want to use the guide? Recommended. And I said, no, I don't need that. I would just follow the plan.
Yeah.
The last two... Strike that. Today was the first time I actually used the coach, the guide. And at first I thought it was cheesy. And then, I mean, in the end, it was still cheesy, but it was still like, it was somebody who was like, okay, yeah, you're running fast right now. Dial it back a little bit. If it's uncomfortable for you, you'll have a chance to speed up later. And just having that like weird feedback of telling me like, don't run at an 8 right now. You're going at a 10K pace, dial back to like a 6 or a 5 of your max thing. And getting that mentally, I think helped me out. And I don't have shin splints. I'm like following the plan. I'm like stretching more. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I did a long time ago in Colorado when I was into running. Yeah. I'm getting back into that because it's more of a habit now without getting injured instantly.
That's awesome. I'm really happy to hear all that. And I've had nothing but great success with that Nike Run Club app. And I've used the coached run. Some of them are kind of wonky. And sometimes I'll have like celebrities come on those. And they had Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. He's a basketball player from they call him the Greek Freak. He's from Greece, and he's got a very thick accent. So I was running one day, and he's like coaching you through stuff, and I'm like, I got no idea what you're saying, Giannis. Sorry, I believe you. But yeah, those are really cool, and I like how they will structure plans to give you like speed training and then more like cardio focus so that you can work on different aspects of a run. And then they even like Dom Cobb is saying in the chat, like music matters a lot on your runs. They'll actually like tailor stuff to like your BPM and your mm-hmm. speed at times. They can almost like automate like music for that and stuff. So lots of cool things in there. I'm envious. I want to get out and start training again. So
it is
I'm
cool.
A few laps behind you, but that's
you're
some races this year.
You're right behind me. The fact of the matter is I could train for a year straight and then you do nothing and then you jump right into it and you're instantly faster than me. Instantly faster.
It's just years of training too that have helped with that.
But, yeah.
I've fallen off time and time again. So I'm hoping that 2022 is a improvement year.
You'll get back into it and then you'll be faster than me again. But what I have to realize is it's not about you. It's about me. Running is right. Not about the others. Just like why I like hiking so much. It's not about what the other people are doing. It's my ability. I'm challenging myself. I don't give a shit
good.
About you.
That's true. And that's the other thing I like about that those Nike apps is you can see progress better because you can see like, oh, I just ran this 5K and it took me, 32 minutes. And then a couple weeks later, a few weeks later, oh, I just did that same route, that same run in 30 minutes or whatever it is. And you see your time improve. You see how you feel at the end of it, like feels different. And that kind of stuff where it's like, oh, I could tell I'm getting better at this because there's data and I feel better about it.
Yeah. I'm tired now because I did some intervals earlier today, but I can tell a difference as far as how my body feels having done that first week versus now, where I'm like, I don't feel like I'm going to be super sore in the morning. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm losing. Well, I'm not even losing weight. I think I'm maintaining the same weight. Maybe my muscles are toning. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Travis.
It may just be a shift in muscle for fat. Like that could be a thing too.
Yeah. But. Or maybe I just haven't taken a
I'm
dump
gaining.
In weeks.
I'm packing them off. That's what I'm doing.
But you look good. You look good.
From here up. Look great.
To all our listeners who aren't following us live on Twitch, I gotta tell you, Travis looks stunning. Oh, he is number one stunner. Okay. All right. Well, enough
yeah,
of that.
That's awkward. Okay. So let's let's get a 3D printing update for those of you that missed last week's episode. We have gotten way too into 3D.
We're printing the things that we want to make.
Yow! Okay. All right. So, Brandon, update from 2 weeks ago. How is 3D printing going? Any cool new prints that you've produced or anything that, I don't know, you've made that you're super stoked about?
Yeah, a little bit of a 3D printing update from the Cruz household. I bought an auto leveler, and I think the last time we recorded, I had just gotten it in. I hadn't tried it out yet. But I thought
I think you had like failed every print that you had tried with it.
Yeah,
to the point when we were recording.
That's right. I figured it out eventually. The main thing was there's a Z axis difference between the auto leveler and the actual nozzle. That Z difference, I thought that was the distance to the bed itself. No, it's the distance between the nozzle and the bottom of the bed leveler. So I just have to adjust for that. Once I figured that out, okay, then I got some initial leveling on all four corners of the bed, run the auto leveler, which also you run the auto level, then you have to save the settings. There wasn't in the instructions that I had to save the settings for that. Once I did that, I haven't had any major issues. I also got a glass bed. I switched from the metal one, and I'm doing pretty solid there as far as mechanics go for the 3D printer.
Have you felt like your PPW, your prints per week, has gone down a little bit? Are you still annoying the family with the sounds of Ender 3 throughout the house?
It has gone down, actually. Now that I've got my settings figured out, it's gone down. But the reason it's gone down is because I don't want to be inundated with just so many prints that I know I can do now.
Yeah.
Going into last weekend, not when this is airing, but the weekend before, I went out there to lostadventures.co, and they have a ton of really, really cool designs, fantasy designs, dragons, dragonborn, very, very cool stuff. And it was like $80 for a shit ton of designs. And a lot of them were really cool, like a clockwork dragon, a water dragon, red dragon, a blight dragon. A lot of those cool. And I'm like, I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna start building these things. The clockwork dragon is the one that jumped out at me. That's what made me buy the collection. And it came in two wings, four limbs, the body and the base, and then the neck. So a bunch of different pieces. Printed out all those pieces. It took a day and a half, 2 days. And then I started piecing it together. That's what I've been working on. And I wanted to focus on making that thing good before I started just printing out a massive amount of other things, because I know I'm going to get into like a backlog of things I want to prepare.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about the next step when post printing here in the bulk of the episode. But you shared with me a few miniature files, and I started printing a ton of miniatures, sort of like you would see if you're playing like a role-playing game or some sort of tabletop game, you know, about inch and a half tall on these miniatures. And I was able to print like four or five at a time, up to like six, I think, at one time, which is really cool, because then now I have like a ton of little things all at once. I got a curing station, so it's a little box that has some UV lights in it and a turntable, which makes all of my prints a little bit more sturdy and make sure that they're fully cured after I'm done washing them and things and getting them out of the printer. So that's all really exciting for me. I had pretty much 2 weeks of just solid, like good prints without fails up until like the last 2 days, when I started printing a bunch of stuff and started having issues, having things break. I was printing a mini holder for when you're painting miniatures, and this thing failed like four different ways.
Oh.
One of the slides on the side just completely like broke, and
oh, no.
There's a huge chunk out of it. So that's been interesting, because it's really given me the opportunity to learn like more about the printer, figure out and troubleshoot why certain things were failing. I printed out some cool little diagnostic tools, some little things. You can't really see it, but there's all kinds of cool stuff that you can print that really kind of help you dial in settings on your printer, and you can see like, oh, is the quality where I want it to be? Do I need to change things either within the printer itself or within the files that I'm creating, to make sure that they work right. And so over the last couple of days, it's really been interesting to me to kind of figure out, okay, my prints have looked good so far and they've all consistently been successful, but where are the areas where I'm lacking, where things can break, or if I'm trying to push the envelope, printing little guys like this is one thing, but then mm-hmm. printing a big thing to hold them with it creates new
challenges,
sort of situations. So yeah. I think the big thing that I'm going to need to learn in the next couple of weeks is supports and how to properly set up and, you know, not just hit auto support and then have it go print, but actually be more intentional about the size and the location of certain supports.
Yeah.
So that I can, you know, have successful prints every time.
You need to have,
or at least most of the time.
You need to have successful prints, man. You gotta do it. You know what else you need to be successful in is not injuring yourself. Have you had any 3D printing injuries yet?
No. Okay, I realize where this is going, because injuries, not really. I will say I think there have been a couple of times where maybe some resin has gotten on my skin and I didn't realize it, and a few minutes later I start to feel like a tingling, almost burning sensation, because the resin is toxic when it is not cured. And so usually I'll go wash my hands and wash up real good. I'm typically really good about wearing gloves and, you know, keeping a clean environment, whenever I'm dealing with a resin or dealing with a print. So no real injuries per se, but, I'm not dealing with hot filament or anything like that. I don't know. What about you? Any injuries that you've dealt with?
I have done no injuries with anything hot yet. I have like touched a hot bed or a nozzle, but even so, I have calluses from playing guitar, so those things don't bother me as much. However, I did print out two Dragonborn miniatures, and I did it overnight, and I woke up the next morning, they were done, they're just sitting on the bed waiting for me, and I have a scraper. And I have also a little X-Acto knife scraper, which is much sharper and pointier. And just waking up, like, okay, cool, they look good, let's get this off. And the bed moves as well as the nozzle, the Z, Y, X axis. They all move. And so in order to pry these little guys off of the bed, because the bed's cool now, it's not hot anymore. So everything's stuck over there. So I'm like holding the bed still. I'm like, don't move, bed, so I can pry these things off. And wasn't thinking. And this sharp ass X-Acto knife chisel goes straight into the fucking palm of my hand.
Ooh.
And it goes, gah! And then my reaction is that, like, it's like, it goes in and I'm like, ah, I pull it out. But so that's why I have like it's like a little L shape cut here.
Ah, okay.
So it went in, and then I pulled it out.
Oof! Double injury.
Double.
And so I went, oh fuck! Oh shit! Oh shit! shit. And I ran into the kitchen and I grabbed a paper towel and it's like, pressure on it for like, stupid asshole. Stupid asshole.
Yeah, there have been times where I have a metal scraper as well to pry things off of my print bed, but typically when that happens, there's also like a bunch of extra residual resin and stuff, and so if I'm using supports, it's typically not too bad. The supports tend to be right in the sweet spot where they're holding firmly to the print bed, but I can get underneath them and separate them pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But if I print anything directly on the print bed, that stuff is tough. And yeah, I typically am pushing away from myself because I have to like hold the print bed in one hand,
yeah,
and then work the scraper in the other. And so,
To be fair, I was pushing it away from my body.
Toward my other hand.
My other hand. So yeah, that's my first 3D printing injury. But now I got PTSD, 3D PTSD.
Are you being like super cautious every time you
now I am, yeah. Where I'm like, No.
I want to talk about one last update before we move on. Yeah. And it'll segue nicely into our next topic too. So we play D&D. We've been playing a new campaign with some friends, and you shared with me a website this week called Hero Forge. And this is a website where you can basically go in and create your own custom miniatures in a very easy to use interface. Think sort of like a hero selection screen for like a video game or something. If you can pick the race, the class, you can pick clothing, body style, you can pick all kinds of accessories as well as different poses. And at the end, you'll have a very well detailed miniature that you could then purchase from Hero Forge directly. They sell various plastic and I think other forms of they'll actually manufacture your miniature for you and mail it to you, or you can purchase the digital file of your miniature, and then you can print it yourself. And so you showed me this website. I was like, this is awesome. I am going to just try out making Pierce Clawthorn, my half-orc warlock from our current campaign, and had so much fun on the site that at the end I was like, I have to have him. He will be mine. And so I ended up buying the file and then printing my little Pierce. There he is. He's got an Eldritch Blast coming out of that front hand, and he's got his sword. Yeah, it's a rapier,
scimitar.
he's got a. It's not. I keep wanting to say spiritual weapon, but it's He's a Hexblade warlock, so that's his Hexblade. But I'm excited to have this so that I can eventually paint him, because the other aspect, the unforeseen fallout of this 3D printing hobby is now we have stumbled our way into an additional hobby, which is painting stuff.
That's right.
So Brandon, tell me how you. Because I'll give you all the credit for being the first one to kind of really think like, yeah, we could, like, I want to paint some of this stuff. And I was like, I don't know if I'm like super hyped on painting things. And then started it. And now I'm like kind of hooked too. So tell me about your progression into painting the things that you're printing.
Well, the first thing I painted, well, strike that. Going backwards, 3D printing. The first thing that I thought about 3D printing was miniatures. And I had a long time ago, I went to like a garage sale and they sold just a bag of Warhammer figurines of the Space Marines. And I had those. I didn't
paint it or?
No, unpainted.
Okay.
But I didn't paint them. I just had them. And I still have, a guy somewhere around my house somewhere unpainted. But I thought when 3D printing started, yeah, like I want to, I feels like it can't just be the miniature, it has to be painted too. And the This Is Fine model that is out there on Thingiverse, I printed that out because I was still testing my printer. And once it came out, I thought, well, it looks cool, but it really needs color to it. So people can see what's actually happening. And I showed this last week, yeah. last time, but you know, so it's like the first thing that I painted, and
still looks pretty awesome. Yeah. It's such a great little miniature.
And once I started doing that, because I didn't look up any YouTube videos. I had basic, very, very basic paints. Maybe that Chelsea had, I forget how I started, but I'm like spend an evening just painting it. And then the next thing I painted was my kid was turning 10 and he wants to play D&D and he wants a Tortle character. And I showed this last time too, is my Tortle. Well,
he looks so good. I don't think you've shown it on the podcast all finished up like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So for the Tortle, it was my first adventure in like painting a big thing. And I'm like, okay, all right. And I learned some things. I changed some colors around.
I need to print something big. I need to print something that has multiple pieces that I glue together or whatever. Because your bigger models, like, yeah, I've got like the Batman bust, but it's still all one piece.
Yeah.
But yes, those things, when you like just hold it in your hand, I'm like, that is legit. Like, big, that is, man, pretty sweet.
It's big. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this one, I kind of rushed through. I had all the primary colors on there. And then I took a risk with making a black acrylic wash with just a lot of water. And so it looks much darker, less pastel than the paints that I had with them before. And so from there, finding the Lost Adventures place and seeing that Clockwork Dragon, I'm like, okay, now I want that thing. And so now I want to paint that. And so then I started looking at YouTube videos all over the place of how to paint miniatures. And so this the Clockwork Dragon was the first thing that I was going to.
It's funny because you say miniatures, but that thing is huge. like how tall is that? Oh, it's like as big as your head.
Yeah, it's about a bit big as my head. Yeah, and it stands up pretty well.
Yeah, so. That is cool. That is cool.
And so now I'm like, I invested in some better brushes. I bought myself a wet palette because I didn't want to keep having my paints dry out, and the wet palette works. I put paints on there last night. If I open it up right now, they'll still be wet and be able to use right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting into it. I'm still not perfect, but I think that's the thing, is you just start doing it and then you keep doing it. And then you don't need to be a professional. You just need to enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, you're not trying to moonlight as a professional painter.
No.
This is not a career path for either of us. But I would say I have an art degree. I've painted, I've done stuff, right? But so the idea of painting miniatures isn't completely foreign to me. It just was never a hobby that I was like,
this is something I want to do,
passionate about. Like, yeah. Warhammer just seems like a lot for me, like painting them all. And then like, I get it. And anybody that's into Warhammer, by all means, I think it's awesome. But for me, it just was never like something that was like, I want to make a whole army and paint them all up and then make them all. But I will say, you started painting some of these guys and I was like, you know what? I could paint one. So I bought some primer, primed them up, found some acrylic paints that we got, just like random acrylic paints. And I started printing these little like 1-inch miniature guys. And this was sort of like a forest ranger type guy that I tried to print. And it was tough. Like they're really small, and like so the detail on them is tough, but learned a ton of stuff that I was doing wrong. And as you shared YouTube videos with me, I was like, oh, I'm doing lots of things wrong, which is also evident in these two little like fire demon type guys that I painted. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like these even came out a little bit better in some areas than the last ones that I did. But again, they're super small. Like, like they're like an inch, a little over an inch. And so that was the inspiration of making a little holder, because I would be grabbing these things by this little half inch base and be trying to paint them and things like that, which, you know, is tough. And so having something that gives you a little bit more control with them, I think is super handy. But I'm excited to move up and move on and try to print something a little bit bigger and paint it and put it all together and see how that looks as well. So haven't bought a wet palette. I did pick up some new brushes. I bought some ceramic tiles nice. At the hardware store because I've also seen those used as a palette. Just painting's fun. The thing about painting for me is I'll pull out a miniature and start working on it, and then like an hour, 2 hours go by. I'm like, oh, holy, okay. It's that active rest, right?
Yeah.
It's that sitting there, playing with the paints, you know, mixing them up, putting them on the miniature. Maybe have a show going on in the background or something, and it's a time to relax while also not just sitting there being stagnant. Because I think every time when I'm just sitting being stagnant, I feel like I need to be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm painting or something like that, then I feel like I can, I feel like it's more relaxing to me.
Yeah, you're doing something. You're not just couch potatoing, all right? Like,
more or less,
it's something that you would be doing anyway. Like, this is productive. We're making content. Painting, you're making content. You're doing sure. something creative.
I don't know what I'm gonna do with these little guys. At some point, maybe there's an in-person D&D game where I'll be like, "Yeah, we got these guys. Let's throw some little fire dudes at them or whatever." Yeah.
But you're right. It is completely zen relaxation. Yeah. Other than the neck starting to cramp up after a little bit of time, but like I had a long weekend, and every night after I stopped playing Halo with Matt kicking his ass, then I would pull out the paints, I'd pull out the dragon, and I would put on something on Netflix that I'd seen before because I wanted to have something in the background that was, you know, like home. It was familiar. I wasn't going to get distracted by too much of stuff what was going on the screen. Last night I watched Mars Attacks. Well, it was in the background. And you know, like getting lost into it. And then there's also the aspect of you paint so much of it, you look at it, okay, that's it, I'm done. But then you look at it again, you're like, oh, okay, well, I got the paint still here. Let me finish this up a little bit. And then next thing you know, it's another 15, 20 minutes later. and there you go. Painting is fun. In high school, in junior high, I was the guy who took every class I could that was not a primary subject, like math or English.
Every elective possible you're in.
Yes. So painting, graphic design, not graphic, well, the design class. I was in a design class.
Yeah.
I love doing that stuff. And now also, by the way, some of the things that the teachers used to say, like, don't put your brushes face down in the water and keep them there. Don't store them like that. I didn't understand why. Rinse them out with soap and water. I didn't fully understand why. I'm starting to understand why it's so important not to ruin your brushes.
Yeah.
when you're painting a lot. And gosh, art classes must just burn through cash, man, when it comes to brushes.
Yeah, my oldest just started an art class for the second semester, and there's like a laundry list of, if you can donate to the class, here are things that we need. And I think the art teacher said they've had to spend, you know, several hundred dollars on the class or something. And it's like, yeah, I believe it, because you're literally just consuming art supplies like throughout the class.
Well, so speaking of class, right? We're amateur painters, amateur miniature painters. We're learning a lot of stuff. I mentioned watching a lot of YouTube. I've watched more YouTube in the last 2 weeks about painting than I've watched YouTube for any other subject, I think, except save maybe drums. But I think even more painting. I've watched more painting things than anything on YouTube. What is your next thing that you want to kind of learn or figure out in painting?
I got some Nuln oil which is something that you use for creating shadows and darkening up some stuff. But for me, I think like the dry brushing technique to kind of create some highlights and things like that, I think I am doing that tragically wrong. And as one of the final stages on some of these miniatures, I am effectively totally jacking up some of the work that I've done for hours in advance. So I think, yeah, maybe just some of those finer details. But really, I think for me, the thing that I need to learn is just more of just technique and how painting something so small, there are specific ways to go about it to get the best results. And sometimes that's laying in large amounts of color in certain spots early. And sometimes that's just as simple as holding the brush sideways when you go to paint like an eye socket so that you're not like trying to go straight at it and then you miss and then your miniature looks like he's cross-eyed or something, which is definitely something I've done the wrong way. So yeah, just practicing more to sort of try and understand all the aspects and just get more comfortable with the scale, because it is, especially with the smaller miniatures, the scale can be really challenging.
Yeah. I think my biggest thing is being afraid that I'm going to ruin the paint job by doing something wrong with color or like as far as like shading and highlighting. I want to start doing that stuff, but I am very, very cautious because I don't want to try to highlight something and like, ew, oh no. And then I got to remix some paints because whereas like the army painter, they come with very specific colors. The acrylic set that I have, if I want a different shade, I've got to mix that shade.
Yeah.
And I'm not that confident in my ability to recognize shading, especially, you know, wet paint dries different than dry paint. So yeah, Figuring that out. But I want to get into shading, but I'm hesitant about it. And then the washes, I don't have any washes. Next time I see a game store, I'll probably invest in some of that stuff. But so like the thing about like this dragon, right? Dragon looks better on camera because it doesn't look as splotchy. You don't notice some of the details. Like there's natural shadows because the wings are covering the dragon. I would love to get an understand artificially what that looks like and try to replicate that as much as possible. But again, it's my fear. I just have to get into a miniature, an actual miniature, fuck around with that thing, because those are very low threat, and I can print another one of those out in an hour while I'm busy screwing up another one. That's no problem. These guys are big, and there's a lot more risk, right?
That's one of the benefits, I think, with the miniatures is I could print. I was able to fit, I think, five or even maybe six on the printer at once, and because of the way that my printer works, whether I print one or I print five, it's the same amount of time. It's just a matter of how tall they are, right? So, if that print prints successfully, now I've got, you know, five guys to work with, and then, you know, if I'm printing like these two guys, they're very similar in, you know, there's the same type of character. So I printed these both I painted these both simultaneously. So I would, you know, lay one color on one and kind of set that off to the side and then move over to the other one. And while that one was drying, I could kind of work on the other and kind of go back and forth. And so I didn't have too much downtime where I was like waiting for things to dry. I was just, okay, go to that one, go back to this one. All right, see how this one's doing. So I really liked that aspect of having a couple of things that were similar in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It's overall, I'm happy with how they turned out. But I am excited for like a while from now to maybe if I lean into the hobby a little bit more, maybe get some actual paints that are designed for miniatures.
Yeah.
Looking back at these
and then 3D print a paint holder for those paints.
That's a thing. That's a thing. And this honestly, out of this week, this paint holder for holding the minis, I really wanted to get into printing some more like tools and things that are useful items.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something that was small enough that I could actually produce it on my printer in four parts and then put it together with some rubber bands and a little bit of glue. And very happy with this. Very happy with an actual tool that, you know, you could go out and probably buy something like this. But the fact that I have the capabilities to manufacture something in my house now is kind of epic as well.
So. You talk about tools for painting miniatures. I ended up, for my 18-year wedding anniversary, went to the mall to go find something ceramic for Chelsea. And while I was waiting for them to come back from their lunch break, there was a game chest store, just a massive store within the Del Amo fashion mall. And I went in there. I stood in front of the Army Painter kiosk for far too long saying, should I get this file kit? Look at all these different colored washes. And then I thought, you're not that good yet. Get better. Then you can come back to this. But there's lots of stuff out there, man.
There's so much stuff. I inadvertently stumbled into a Games Workshops store, which is basically the brand that makes Warhammer.
Yeah.
And I go in and I was like, oh, do you have like a dark like wash color? And he's like, you mean like null oil? Like, does he want this one? Or we got this one if you want like more dirt, or we got this one. And I was like, all right, cool. You guys sell like a lot of Warhammer stuff in here, huh? And he's like, yeah, it's Games Workshop. Like, we make Warhammer. Like, that's all we sell here. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I like look around for a second and I was like, well, I guess I'll take that, you know, pot of paint there. And he's just kind of watching me as I'm like, well, I guess that's it. Guess I'll leave and maybe never come back here. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I don't know. Like I felt like they knew I had no idea what I was doing. I was very much an imposter.
Hey,
in that story.
Hey, you're almost a 40. I can tell.
Yeah. You're nearly 40 and I've never seen you at any of our games. What are you doing here?
You are too old to start this hobby.
No, I'm sure they're very nice and inclusive, and yeah. or they're not. It doesn't matter.
No. I was gonna segue into our next topic. What do you want to say?
I was gonna do the same thing because while I was painting these here miniatures, I was also watching a TV show on Netflix by a little show by the name of Arcane. League of Legends, which my daughter said, hey, this show's good, you should check it out. You told me, hey, this show's really good, you should check it out. I was like, I don't know, maybe. I'm not really big into League of Legends. And then I was like, hey, I'm painting by myself. I got my laptop open over here. Why not? I think Sheena was binge watching like New Girl again or something like that. So so I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. And I'll tell you what, several episodes in, I was like, this show is pretty good. And now I am a finale away from being done with the first season. My goodness, it is solid stuff.
It really is. I hadn't watched any of the show, and my father-in-law, Mitch, had watched the show. And he watched an episode, and he's like, oh, it was a pretty good show. It was pretty good. I only watched the first episode, but it was pretty good. I'm interested in the characters. I'm like, wow, okay. Well, if my father-in-law, who knows nothing about League of Legends, thinks that it's a pretty good show just on one episode, then I'll give it a shot. And so I sat there with the 10-year-old, and we rolled through it, and I just. The first couple episodes, it takes kind of place in the past. And so the first thing you're doing as a League of Legends fan is being like, oh, who's this character? Oh, is this a character? Is this character going to be somebody that we know later on down the road and all that type of stuff? And for those who know League of Legends, it kind of focuses around Vi and her sister Jinx. That is kind of the primary folks that we focus on throughout the series.
Yeah.
And it goes into Jace, and it goes into Caitlyn, it goes into a few others, Victor. But primarily Vi and Jinx. And then it starts in the past, then it kind of jumps into the kind of present-ish. And it just the animation is so cool. I'm not really sure that animation style. How would you describe that?
It's weird because it kind of sits in sort of an uncanny valley between 3D animation and sort of like a 2D like look. There are certain scenes where it almost looks very flat in the way that they're portraying it. But I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong here, I think it's completely produced in Blender, which is a 3D animation software. It's 3D modeling software. I think I read that, yeah, they used Blender to produce that show. And I think it's one of the first like full length series that like major series that was produced in Blender.
Yeah, because there are moments where it seems almost rotoscoped as far as like a Scanner Darkly, that type of where it's an actor, but then they put animation over the actor. It's not that, but it has that kind of aesthetic sometimes. And then there's other times where it gets very there's a couple scenes where it actually gets like actually animated or almost like comic book animated a little bit. Very, 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 very good. The story is solid too. Now,
and that's the thing that I would say, having zero background or knowledge of League of Legends, I really wondered if like the world or anything, like if I would feel like, oh, I need to know more about the game or something to really appreciate this. But the story itself and the way they introduce the characters does a phenomenal job of really kind of investing you in the world, making you care about who these people are and care about their connections. And I hate to say it, but it kind of makes me more interested in League of Legends.
that was going to be my next question, was, does that interest make you more interested in the lore behind the game?
I think it does. And I mean, I haven't finished the first season. It's all coming to a head. There's a lot of things going on, so I'm excited for where it ends or where it like at least leaves off. And I am curious now, like, how does all of this story, how do all of these relationships this political controversies and, you know, and these different factions and things, how does that factor into the background of a game where you're, you know, jungling and taking over lanes and, you know, sending minions out and doing all this stuff? Like, how tightly is it tied to that, and how much is it just like a method for delivering, you know, gameplay and stuff like that? And
yeah,
the other part of it is, you slyly suggested, hey, why don't we try out this game, Team Fight Tactics? It's an auto battler like Dota Underlords, which we had a ton of fun playing, you know, a year ago or so, but they've sort of moved away from supporting the game. They haven't really come out with any updates in a long time. So you're like, hey, let's try this game out. And I was like, yeah, sure. Free to play, free download, whatever, like no risk. And so I like look up Team Fight Tactics. I go to download it. I have to create an account. And then all of a sudden we're like, okay, it's almost time to play. And it's like, oh, you have to download League of Legends to play it. And I was like, what? League of... Oh yeah. Oh, by the way, it's a League of Legends game. This sly devil, this guy. All right. And so then not only that, but he goes one step further. He's like, oh, we're playing an AI match real quick. It'll be real easy. And I'm still thinking team fight tactics in my head. I'm like, oh, we're going to play like an AI version of TFT real quick. No big deal. It'll be like a tutorial or something before we start playing the real game. And we drop in and son of a gun, we're playing League of Legends. Me, you, and the 10-year-old. Playing some League, and I didn't hate it, but I definitely didn't know fully what I was doing either. So, yeah, I don't know. It's fun, but it's something the problem with League is I feel like there's so much of it now, and it's been around for so long that I'm hesitant to jump in with both feet because I feel like there's so many people that are so much further ahead than where I would ever get that. Yeah. I don't know.
The meta is too great. The barrier to entry, because there are so many characters, each with their strengths and weaknesses. There's also the aspect of you build characters out as far as runes to, you know, attack damage, ability, power, dodge, crit, all this type of stuff. There's a whole mess of other things. And then obviously, same thing with Dota. You buy weapons, you buy armor, and each of those things does something a little bit differently. It is very, very deep and overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. And so I like League. I would never want to play professionally, but I think it's fun sometimes. I do want to say about Arcane. There are aspects of Arcane that some fight scenes where it is very similar to like a lane in League of Legends. There's like a fight scene on a bridge, for example.
Yes, I thought about that when I was watching it. I was like, oh, this kind of has like a nod to the gameplay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And there are abilities in play for some of the characters. Vi at some point in time gets her big ass iconic fists, and she's fighting with those, which is really, really cool. Anyway, going back to League of Legends proper, it's fun. I didn't mean to trick you into playing that versus AI game, but I'm glad you did. Just okay. But then we started playing Teamfight Tactics, which is very like Underlords, but more successful because it's supported. And there's obviously a barrier to entry there too with its own meta, but you can jump in there and maybe we'll never win a game, but we at least feel like we're having fun still doing our duos bit.
Yeah, duos is cool. I like that we can like share some resources and help each other out through it. It is very much like Underlords, where you have to like know certain metas and know how to pair those together and know what's powerful right now. And so we haven't had enough time in the game to like hammer all that out. And then plus you add items on top of that, and there's so many items and combinations of items that can really like make or break your team. And so we will win a game at some point. I'm confident. We will. It's just
not today.
Not today. There's still a lot of a lot of things to learn. But I will say this: it's all coming together, right? Because I've been watching Arcane now, so I actually recognize the names of some of these characters.
Yeah.
And so now, as they come up as like champions in Teamfight Tactics, I'm like, oh, I know who that is, and I loosely understand what some of their abilities might be, and oh yeah, they might actually pair with this one. Okay. So that's also been helpful.
Hey, like, Heimerdinger. There's a Heimerdinger.
Kick him off the council. So
or science.
Yeah, like I don't know. It's all working together. The grand plan is working. Congratulations. Your TV show is making me want to play your video game, which is really what it's all about anyway.
I just like being right.
I will say bringing this all full circle, I was like, well, if Arcane was produced in Blender, then there's probably already like 3D files of some of these characters. And sure enough, I just looked it up and there's 3D printable models of, you know, some of these characters.
Yeah.
So
I've printed out a few Teemos. There's a Cho'Gath that I downloaded, but I realize now that when there's a fully supported model that I download, that's meant for resin printing. I can make my own supports in the slicing software for things. So I need to get that. I print out a Twitch, which is not the service we're streaming to you live from. No. It's the rat from the sewer kingdom. Who's my favorite character. He's a rat who shoots a crossbow. Anyway,
there it is. So I don't know. It's a good show. If you haven't checked it out,
it's on Netflix.
Whether you're into League of Legends or not, definitely check it out on Netflix.
You know what's
and,
funny?
If Blizzard could just get their act together and make me an Overwatch series, I'd be all set.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny, Travis? One is that Blizzard, the cutscene kings of the gaming world, have not done a movie or a show for that matter. But the second thing that's funny is my younger brother, who's a way bigger League of Legends person than I ever was, he doesn't want to watch the show. He doesn't care about Arcane. He's like, man, I don't care. I'm like, it's good. Man, I don't care. I don't get it. Maybe he's past it. Anyways, Arcane season 2, it's rolling around. It's already confirmed. I don't know when it's coming out, but it is confirmed.
Good. It's good. Excited for that. Yeah, I know Blizzard tried to make a World of Warcraft movie. I don't know. But like, I feel like they need to take a nod from Arcane and not try to go live action. Don't try to just go with 3D animation. Do what you know.
I mean, God,
and
Diablo,
just go all in. We will watch it.
StarCraft 2, Overwatch, The Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing. The cutscenes in all of those things were amazing. World of Warcraft, the cinematic trailers for all the World of Warcraft expansions were always so amazing. Why hadn't they done a show like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Who
maybe,
are we?
Maybe the success of Arcane will change some minds.
Yeah, or maybe it'll shift the culture in that company to be less.
Okay. I was going
to
make the same comment. I was like, or maybe things will change in the company, and then they'll come up with some other ideas. Yeah. And I may never see Overwatch 2. Who knows? So even though it's been advertised for like 2 years, anyway. All right, so that's our show. Thanks for watching or listening. If you are listening and you are new here, well, congratulations for getting through quite an episode. If you want to rate, review, subscribe, ring the bell notification, whatever platform you're watching, listening on, we appreciate that you're here. Thanks to everybody that comments and lets us know that you're enjoying the show. We really appreciate that as well. And if you have any tips or suggestions for Brandon or I as we continue to figure out 3D printing and painting and playing team fight tactics, let us know. Let us know. Send us a tweet. Send us an email. We love hearing from you guys. So thanks again to everybody. Good night, Dragon. Good night, Clockwork Dragon. You're doing good things. If you want to see any of the stuff that we're talking about, definitely make sure that you check out the video version over on YouTube, or join us Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central, I guess 9 p.m. Eastern, over on Twitch is usually when we go live. So thanks everybody for hanging out. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Goodbye.
Bye.